Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to Nightingale Conant's Insight. Have you ever wondered why it is that some people seem to do far better and earn far more money in their chosen fields than others do? You've heard about the 80-20 rule, which says that 80% of the sales are made by 20% of the salespeople. This means that 20% of the salespeople make 80% of the commissions as well. In every industry, 20% of the companies make 80% of the profits. Now, since everyone begins at pretty much the same starting point, why is it that some people manage to get so far ahead of the vast majority? Well, after years of study and experience, I've found the answer. In its simplest terms, successful people capitalize on their strengths. They either develop strengths they already have, or they identify and develop strengths that they need to have to get ahead. They then focus all of their energies on getting better and better in one or two key areas. They take themselves out of the ranks of the ordinary performers and up into the ranks of the extraordinary performers. And their rewards, both tangible and intangible, soon reflect their achievements. Success comes from doing what you are ideally suited to do, doing it extremely well and doing more and more of it. This is also the key to health, happiness, prosperity, and complete self-fulfillment. One of the qualities of superior men and women is that they are extremely self-reliant. They accept complete responsibility for themselves and everything that happens to them. They look to themselves as the source of their successes and as the main cause of their problems and difficulties. High achievers say, "If it's to be, it's up to me." When things aren't moving along as fast as they want, they ask themselves, "What is it in me that is causing this problem?" They refuse to make excuses or to blame other people. Instead, they look for ways to overcome obstacles and make progress. Totally self-responsible people look upon themselves as self-employed. They see themselves as the presidents of their own personal services corporations. They realize that no matter who signs their paychecks, in the final analysis, they work for themselves. And because they have this attitude of self-employment, they take a strategic approach to their work. The essential element in strategic planning for a corporation or a business entity is the concept called return on equity. All business planning is aimed at organizing and reorganizing the resources of the business in such a way as to increase the financial returns of the business owners. It is to increase the quantity of output relative to the quantity of input. It's to focus resources on areas of higher profitability and return, and simultaneously to withdraw resources from areas of low profitability and return. The companies that do this effectively in a rapidly changing environment are the ones that survive and prosper. Companies that fail to do this form of strategic analysis are those that fall behind and often disappear. To achieve everything you are capable of achieving as a person, you must also become a skilled strategic planner with regard to your own life and your work. But instead of aiming to increase your return on equity, your job is to increase your return on energy. Most people in America start off with little more than themselves and their ability to work. More than 80% of self-made millionaires in America started with nothing. Most people have been broke or nearly broke several times during their young adult years. But the ones who eventually get ahead are those who do certain things in certain ways, and those actions set them apart from the masses. And perhaps the most important thing they do, consciously or unconsciously, is that they look at themselves strategically and they think about how they can best capitalize on their strengths and abilities to increase their returns to themselves and their families by making better use of themselves in the marketplace. Just as a company has financial capital, you have human capital. You have physical capital, emotional capital, and intellectual capital. And of the three, your intellectual capital is the most valuable. We live today in a knowledge-based society, and your knowledge of how to get things done is the most valuable capital you can have. Today, jobs and entire industries are being eliminated at a speed greater than anything ever experienced in all of history. All around us are tens of thousands of men and women whose jobs have also been completely eliminated in the last few years, and this trend will continue at an accelerating rate. People who went to school and worked for years to develop their skills find that there's no longer a market for them, and the market is not coming back. The layoffs are permanent. The industries are gone. The jobs have disappeared. This is not a problem. This is a fact. This is not something that could be changed by political solutions or public protests. No amount of anger or frustration or union work rules or agreements with employers can recreate jobs that are gone forever. In this environment, everyone is on their own. You have to fend for yourself. You must take full responsibility for selecting and guiding every single aspect of your career path. Your most valuable financial asset is your earning ability, your ability to earn money. Properly applied to the marketplace, it's like a pump. By exploiting your earning ability, you can pump tens of thousands of dollars a year into your life. All your knowledge, education, skills, and experience contribute towards your earning ability, your ability to get results for which someone else will pay good money. And your earning ability is like farmland. If you don't take excellent care of it, if you don't fertilize it and cultivate it and water it on a regular basis, it soon loses its ability to produce the kind of harvest that you desire. Successful men and women are those who are extremely aware of the importance and value of their earning ability, and they work every day to keep it fresh and growing and current with the demands of the marketplace. One of your greatest responsibilities in life is to identify, develop, and maintain an important marketable skill. You must become very good at doing something for which there is a strong market demand. In corporate strategy, we call this the development of a competitive advantage. A competitive advantage is defined as an area of excellence in producing a product or service that gives the company a distinct edge over its competition. In capitalizing on your strengths as the president of your own personal services corporation, you must also have a clear competitive advantage. You must also have an area of excellence. There must be something that you can do that makes you different from and better than your competitors. Your ability to identify and develop this competitive advantage is the most important thing you do in the world of work. It's the key to maintaining your earning ability. It's the foundation of your financial success. Without it, you're simply a pawn in a rapidly changing environment. But with a distinct competitive advantage, based on your strengths and abilities, you can write your own ticket. You can take charge of your own life. You can always get a job. And the more distinct your competitive advantage, the more money you can earn, and the more places you can earn it. There are four keys to the strategic marketing of yourself and your services. These are applicable to huge companies like General Motors, to candidates running for election, and to an individual such as yourself when you want to accomplish the very most in the very least amount of time. The first of these four keys is specialization. No one can be all things to all people. The idea of being a jack of all trades also means being master of none. That career path usually leads to a dead end. Specialization is the key. Men and women who are successful have a series of general skills, but they also have one or two areas where they have developed the ability to perform in an outstanding manner. Your decision about how, where, when, and why you are going to specialize in a particular area of endeavor is perhaps the most important decision you will ever make in your career. It was well said that if you don't think about the future, you can't have one. The major reason why so many people are finding their jobs eliminated and finding themselves unemployed for long periods of time is because they didn't look down the road of life far enough and prepare themselves well enough for when their current jobs expired. They suddenly found themselves out of gas on a lonely road with a long walk back to regular and well-paying employment. Don't let this happen to you. In determining your area of specialization, put your current job and activities aside for the moment and take the time to look deeply into yourself. Analyze yourself from every point of view. Rise above yourself and look at your lifetime of activities and accomplishments in determining what your area of specialization could be or should be. And by the way, you might be doing exactly the right job for you at this moment. You might already be capitalizing on your strengths, and your current work might be ideally suited to your likes and dislikes, to your temperament and your personality. Nonetheless, you owe it to yourself to be continually expanding the scope of your vision and looking toward the future to see where you might want to be going in the months and years ahead. Remember, the best way to predict the future is to create it. You possess special talents and abilities that make you unique and different from anyone else who has ever lived. The odds of there being another person just like you are more than 50 billion to one. Your remarkable and unusual combination of education, experience, knowledge, problems, successes, difficulties, and challenges, and your way of looking at and reacting to life literally make you extraordinary in all the world. You have within you potential competencies and attributes that can enable you to accomplish virtually anything you really want. Even if you live for another 100 years, it wouldn't be enough time for you to plumb the depths of your full potential. You'll never be able to use more than a small part of your inborn abilities. Your main job is to look selectively at yourself and your life, and then to decide which of your talents you're going to exploit and develop to their highest and best possible use right now. So what's your area of excellence? What are you especially good at? If things continue as they are, what are you likely to be good at in the future, say 1 or 2 or even 5 years from now? Is this a marketable skill with a growing demand? Or is your field changing in such a way that you're going to have to change as well if you want to keep up with it? Looking into the future, what could be your area of excellence if you were to go to work on yourself and your abilities? What should be your area of excellence if you want to rise to the top of your field and make an excellent living and take complete control of your financial future? When I was 22, I answered an advertisement for a copywriter for an advertising agency. As it happened, I had failed high school English, and I really had no idea what a copywriter did. I remember the executive who interviewed me and how nice he was at pointing out that I wasn't at all qualified for the job. But something happened to me in the course of the interview process. The more I thought about it, the more I thought how much I would like to write advertising. Having been turned down flat during my first application, I decided to learn more about the field. I went to the city library and began to check out and read books on advertising and copywriting. Over the next 6 months, while I worked in a department store, I spent many hours devouring every book on the subject the library had. At the same time, I applied for copywriting jobs to every advertising agency in the city. I started with the smaller agencies first. When they turned me down, as they all did, I asked them why. What was wrong with my application? What did I need to learn more about? What books would they recommend? And I remember to this day that virtually everyone I spoke to was helpful to me. By the end of 6 months, I had read every book on advertising and copywriting in the library, and I had applied to every agency in the city, working up from the smallest agency to the very largest. And by the time I had reached that level, I was ready. I was offered jobs as a junior copywriter by both the number one and number two agencies in the country. I took the job with the number one agency and was very successful in a short period of time. The point of this story is that you can become almost anything that you need to become in order to accomplish almost anything that you want to accomplish if you simply decide what it is and then learn what you need to learn. This is such an obvious fact that most people miss it completely. Some years later, I decided that I wanted to get into real estate development. Again, I went to the library and began checking out and reading all the books on real estate development I could find. At the time, I had no money, no contacts, and no knowledge of the industry. But I knew the great secret. I knew I could learn what I needed to learn so that I could do what I wanted to do. Within 12 months, I had tied up a piece of property with a $100 deposit and a 30-day option. I put together a proposal for a shopping center and tentatively arranged for major anchor tenants and several minor tenants that altogether took up 85% of the square footage I had proposed. I then sold 75% of the entire package to a major development company in exchange for the companies putting up all the cash. They also agreed to provide me with the resources and people that I needed to manage the building of the shopping center and the completion of the leasing. Virtually everything that I did, I learned from the real estate experts in their books sitting on the shelves of the local library. As you might have noticed, the fields of copywriting and real estate development are very different. But these incidents and every business situation I've been in over the years had one element in common. Success in each area was based on the decision to first specialize in that area and then second to become extremely knowledgeable in that area so that I could do a good job at it. In looking at your current and past experiences for an area of specialization, some of the most important questions to ask are the following. What activities have been most responsible for your success in life to date? How did you get from where you were to where you are today? What are the talents and abilities you've had over the course of your life that have seemed to come most easily to you? What are the things that you do well that seem to be difficult for other people? What things do you most enjoy doing? What things do you find most intrinsically motivating? What are the things that make you most happy when you're doing them? You see, a key part of capitalizing on your strengths is your level of interest, your level of excitement and enthusiasm about the particular job or activity. You'll always be the best and make the most money in a field that you really enjoy. It'll be in an area that you like to think about and talk about and read about and learn about. Successful people love what they're doing, and they can hardly wait to get to it each day. Doing their work makes them happy, and the happier they are, the more enthusiastically they do it, and the better as well. In capitalizing on your strengths, the next step after specialization is differentiation. You must decide what you're going to do to be not only different, but better than your competitors in the field. Remember, you only have to be good in one specific area to move ahead of the pack, and you must decide what that area should be. The third strategic principle in capitalizing on your strengths is the area of segmentation. You have to look at the marketplace and determine where you can best apply yourself with your unique talents and abilities to give yourself the highest possible return on energy expended. What customers, companies, markets can most utilize your special talents and offer you the most in terms of financial rewards and future opportunities? The final key to personal strategic planning is concentration. Once you've decided in what area you're going to specialize and how you're going to differentiate yourself and where in the marketplace you can best apply your strengths, your final job is to concentrate all of your energies on becoming excellent at that time and in that place. The marketplace only pays extraordinary rewards for extraordinary performance. In the final analysis, everything that you've done up to now has simply been laying the groundwork for becoming outstanding in your chosen field. When you become very good at doing what other people need, you begin moving rapidly into the top ranks of working people everywhere. Perhaps the most exciting discovery in the field of success is the realization that you have everything you need right now within you to be, have, and do anything you want. You have the potential talents, skills, and abilities just waiting to be developed like great pools of oil lying under the ground, waiting to be brought to the surface. The rig you use to drill a gusher on your own land is your decision to capitalize on your own personal strengths, to look into yourself and determine what you are ideally suited to do, and then to throw your whole heart into doing it in an excellent fashion. And when you do that, everything becomes possible for you. Identifying and then capitalizing on your strengths will help you to succeed in all aspects of your life. By focusing all of your energies on a few key areas, you'll move yourself up into the realm of extraordinary performers.